The subject of your book, John Vassos, is a rags-to-riches story. Is that why you were so interested in his life and work?
Well, I thought he was an incredible figure through which to tell the story of how radio and new technologies became so welcome into the home. He was the lead designer at RCA when it was a major corporation, sort of like the Apple of its day, designing products across the board, all the kind of major mass media technologies of the 20th century he had a hand in, such as radio, television, computers, as well as broadcast equipment, TV cameras. So I thought he was a really interesting person to, and through which to tell the story of design for mass media and media technologies.
So he was an industrial designer and a quite famous one. Why have a lot of us never heard of him?
People haven't heard of him because he got forgotten. And he worked largely, mainly at RCA for 4 decades. And RCA was, you know, a business, a corporation. Many of their dealings were private. And people just didn't know about the major contributions he made to design there, such as coming up with incredible ideas for making radio more successful. RCA was flagging a bit in their radio manufacturing when he went to work for them in 1933. They were growing in their broadcasting industry. They had just built 30 Rock, a major monument to radio broadcasting. It was a new technology, but they were flagging a bit in radio manufacturing. So they brought him on board. He was well known at that point as a modern artist and someone who had created some incredible Art Deco illustrations. He had done some industrial design work, such as creating the turnstile as we know it today. You've certainly gone through a John Vassos turnstile. They brought him on board to say, hey, we need help. We need to make our radios something modern, something appealing, and to really sell them and get them out there. And so he came on board and he really revolutionized the radios for RCA. He created very tactile knobs. He changed the way that the tuning was done in the radio. It was no longer an airplane or circular tuning mechanism. He made it from left to right. So he made a lot of contributions. He was the designer of the very first television manufactured by RCA, which had a big splashy premiere at the 1939 New York World's Fair. But because these records were held in RCA business history, it wasn't really until those records became available to the public that it was fully understood his massive contribution to the design of television, radio, computers. And that's really why the Hagley Collection is so important, because it enabled me, as the first biographer of this important designer, to really go back and see what he did and the contributions he made for the company.
So you were able to delve into the library's records there at the Hagley, and that was key in your research.
Exactly. They hold the David Sarnoff Library, which is a massive repository of papers telling the story of RCA. And, you know, people haven't heard of RCA today. It was really the apple of its age. It was so important as a leading manufacturer and a leading thinker and innovator in terms of broadcasting, in terms of equipment, in terms of radios and televisions. It was really very, very important under the control of David Sarnoff, who was a very charismatic and important leader of that company. So he came on board as a designer and really helped them grow the company and create an RCA aesthetic across all these different areas of the company. Not only were they, you know, manufacturing, they also were owned NBC, which was a huge broadcasting station. They had so much power in terms of the growing radio and later television industries.
So how did you first get on the trail of Mr. Vassos? What made the light bulb go off in your head and say, hey, someone needs to write about this guy?
I first discovered his work when I was an exhibition assistant at the National Design Museum, Cooper Hewitt Museum in New York, and I saw a book of his drawings. And I thought, oh, my gosh, he's incredible. He just showed people fear of technology is really what he was focusing on, like an image called dromophobia, which showed people crossing the street, or mechanophobia, fear of machines. He was thinking a lot about, in the early 1930s, what was happening in modern society as the machine age was taking off, and kind of thinking about it in a way that wasn't just celebratory, but also a little bit fearful. Like, what's going to happen in this society when we have so many machines and new technologies? And he was even ambivalent about radio. You know, there was a lot of fears. Radio was used as a tool of fascism in Italy and later in Germany. And there was a lot of questions about what radio was going to be used for. But when he was asked to come to RCA, he really just took very clear notions of modern design. His radios weren't, you know, Victorian objects of, you know, very complex things. He really wanted to take modern design and put the radio in the hands of everybody and make them feel comfortable tuning a station or, you know, finding their way around this new technology, which was quite frightening. So, yes, he's not a household name, but I really want people to understand that when you're in your car and you're tuning the knobs on the radio, that is the influence of Vassos. He really argued on behalf of the tactile, the user interface. You need to touch the knobs. You need to see how they work. You need to feel them. That he really made a huge contribution to how we interact with our media technologies, even today with our, you know, cell phones, and the success of the iPhone is really driven by design.
So he was less of a nuts and bolts guy and more of a design guy. He was really about the feel and the look to make it more accessible for people.
Exactly. So as an industrial designer, what Vassos did was work with engineers and people like Vladimir Zorkin. You know, many consider him the father of television, to come up with, how do you take these advanced technologies and make them accessible? You know, how do you make them, today we say, user-friendly? How can people use a very complex thing like the electron microscope or even a television? When it first came out at the 1939 World's Fair, it was this very large and complex piece of machinery. So what Vassos, as a designer, thought primarily about was, how was the person interacting with this machinery? Where were they touching the knobs? How were they opening the screen, which it was a flip-top television, the one from the 1939 World's Fair? You know, where is their body in relation to this strange machine? You know, he really thought about where the machinery was in relation to, say, the casing. You know, the radios were put in these beautiful Bakelite, very colorful packaging, you know, using new plastics and new materials to really accentuate the beauty of this new technology. Not to make it too strange, but to make it, you know, beautiful. And Vassos was involved in making choices about what colors to use, what kinds of knobs. For the broadcast equipment and the submarine equipment that he designed technology for, he thought about how the engineer would feel in the dark. If you're in a submarine, how would you feel a knock? And he added kind of pointy elements so you could know, you know, where you were pointing. So it goes beyond just aesthetics or making something look beautiful, but also making something really functional. And so that was his job, was to work with the engineers and to make things functional, usable, and really user-friendly.
Quickly, what is one thing that really sticks out to you when you think about John Vassos' legacy?
I just love the 1939 television. He designed four televisions for RCA, and they're just so beautiful. He uses mahogany. He uses, you know, just beautiful woods. He just creates this beautiful object out of something really new and weird. I mean, when it was introduced at the fair, he created a version that was in plastic, so people could see the inside. People thought it was magic. Like, what is this? You know, there had been a dream of television for many years, but this was the reality of it. It marked the start of regular broadcasting in the New York City area. So it was really something very exciting and very new, but very scary. He created this plastic TV. They call it the Phantom Television. And in an image from the David Sarnoff Library, you see the people gathered around it, like almost like they're looking at an animal in the zoo. Like, what is this? Like, really bizarre and new. And I just love that image because it just shows people's response to television with such shock and awe. And it just really, I think it is so surprising today when television is so much a part of our life and something so mundane and regular, to think about historically how people responded to this new technology. I really like that image, and I like the early televisions he designed that people rarely see. But I think that they kind of raise interesting questions about what a TV should look like. That was another sort of piece of it. It had no prior form or shape. It was so new. You know, what should it look like? Should it be circular? You know, should it be a large piece of furniture? Or should it be, you know, a standalone thing? Like, what should it be? And I think those questions were really interesting. And I liked how Vassos grappled with them. You know, how do you create a form and shape for a new technology? So I love that 1939 World's Fair television. And when I give my talk, I'll definitely be showing that slide.
Okay, well, I look forward to hearing you at the Hagley. Thank you very much, Danielle Shapiro.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark.